We're live and alive.
It took you about 4 or 5 years to get your phone off.
Listen, it was not easy to get it back on, so that's why I have to make sure right now. I learned, and now on a short notice, I can turn it on and off. Does that answer the question?
That's the most important thing, is that you're improving every single day.
That's right. I'm here to learn from the pros.
From the bros.
You say you wanted to be the professor.
I am a professor. Okay. Of what? When I take a shower.
When you take a shower?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I talk to myself. That's also called a medical condition. Mental illness. Oh, I can't say that? Sorry.
No. I wasn't saying it like that.
Are you going to say that?
You are crazy. I mean.
I'm crazy. That's a compliment for me.
Is it?
Yeah, my wife tells me that I'm nuts. Too.
I think you're a professor at the Stu.
You guys are crazy. Guys, we don't have Mike with us today at the desk.
Oh, thank God.
So I'm sitting.
Mike, we're going to miss you, Mike. We're missing you already, Mike.
Antonio has been crying every day that he doesn't have Mike. I've had to leave him the key to the studio so that he could come in and watch his games. Mike is in Greece.
I saw the window over here was broken in.
Enrico said to me, we can come through the window. I said, what window?
We thought about it. Mike will be back next week. I think he comes back tomorrow from Greece. Mm. Nice little time for him. But Serie A has not stopped. We got a lot of controversy in your game. I know Lazio fans everywhere. Oh my God, I spoke to a million Lazio fans. They're not happy about that game. Inter, you're not winning every game 4-0, but little by little, you continue pushing forward, even though your schedule gets harder and harder from here on out.
But another controversy calls.
Yeah. And then
on their side, all the time on their side.
Well, a lot of refereeing mistakes. And then the Napoli game was crazy. The Napoli game, it's so hard to explain what happened in that. And then I want to talk about De Rossi today. De Rossi, because he's flying high. Where do we want to start? Which topic, boys?
It's up to you. You're the conductor.
Let's start with De Rossi and how amazing he's done at Roma so far. They won and made it look easy against Monza, 4-1. But since he's joined, 6 wins out of 7. The only team that they lost to was Inter, and anybody could lose to Inter. And they actually played well that game. But it's not just that they're getting the results. They're getting results against some of the smaller teams. It's that they started scoring so many goals.
They played well.
Make 20 goals in 7 games.
That's crazy to me. How do you explain
the explanation? I'll tell you the explanation. First of all, this is a team that has morphed from a defensive team on a counter under Mourinho on a totally offensive team. Everybody's been enjoying playing soccer. The spaces are totally filled up. È una squadra corta, we call it in Italy. La squadra corta, so just everybody's...
They're all close together.
Yeah, they're close together. They're compact. They come on a unit up and down. And do not, they let Dybala, as we were talking the last time, they're letting Dybala, a couple other people like Pellegrini, free range on the position that they're capable to play. And they make a lot of things happening. So how can you explain this? This is the same thing that I was trying to explain one of my hitting coach, that this is what Juventus needs to have on their hands. Because, how can you be like changing from a defensive team on a totally offensive team when the results put you in the condition to catch up? Juventus, when they're scoring first, they played the perfect game for themselves, catenaccio, counter. But when they have to catch up, the team becomes a spectacular offensive team. They create so many chances. The fact that they were not able to convert this week is because of pure luck.
We'll get there.
Again, how can you be morphing from a team that is totally defensive on a counter into a team that it becomes a team capable to play offense?
So
offensive soccer.
Does it come down to just Mourinho being the problem, or is it still too early to tell?
Well, I think, for this time, I think Antonio's right as far as just like the unleashing of the chains, in a sense. You know, breaking away from being this fixed style of play where we're just going to win, not necessarily dirty, but, being strong, physical, and just waiting for our time to strike. Where we see De Rossi, that's, even if it's limited time, you see a new level of enthusiasm, not just with the players, but also from him on the sideline, where you mentioned, on our different podcasts, where, he's saying the right things in the press conference. He's not trying to throw anybody under the bus. It's a matter of taking each game, you know, and trying to be better and better and better and be perfect, you know, which is very hard to do in a football game, and especially when you do it for a long time. So he's doing it for the games that he's had mm-hmm. to, which are these seven games. And I don't think we can, you know, say, oh, it's short, or you know, what can you expect? He was going to come in. He's, you know, already a Roma legend. People are going to have his back. It's not easy to go back to a team that you were a legend in. So you have a lot of pressure on you, I think. But more than ever, I think De Rossi is one that knows what it is to play for Roma.
Mm-hmm.
And he expects each of his players to feel the same attachment to the shirt. And more importantly, as Antonio said, you know, Dybala, I think, one, that he's given the freedom, and two, he's healthy all of a sudden. He's played three games, 90 minutes. Like, hello, he couldn't even stay 45 minutes on the field. So even that is something to play. So
is it just good luck? Is it just a string of...
No. Guess what? A lot of times, luck is what you make out of it. And at the same time, it's the mentality. When you feel the freedom, when you feel a certain way, when you everything is going good, the goals come, right? But it also, you know, stems from De Rossi and his approach to the games, his approach to management, you know? So I'm a big supporter of Mourinho, obviously, what he did with Inter. But there's a changing of the guard. Exactly. It's been a while. And we see even the smaller teams, no one's going to sit back and wait for you to score. They're going to play their game.
So that part, I don't necessarily agree with you. I don't think Mourinho's done. I think that if Mourinho took over a top team with top players, he would still win something important, like a Portugal, for example, or I would love to see what he could do at Bayern Munich. But I have been wrong that I thought he didn't deserve to be sacked by this Roma. I didn't think De Rossi could have the impact as quickly as he did and make the changes. I feel like I was brought to believe that a lot of these players were worse than they are. And it still is early, so it's too soon to tell for next season. But so far, I've definitely been wrong. I didn't expect them to be able to score this many goals and find that balance. What do you think?
So a couple of things about De Rossi. So De Rossi arrives. He won the World Cup. He's a hero in Rome. There's a lot of enthusiasm around him. I think he likes the Zerbi school. I think he likes the Guardiola school, which are teams that they like to pressure. They like to go up. Guardiola plays always the 4-3-3. He likes to press the other team, likes to go forward. In the last 30 yards, he gives you all the freedom mm-hmm. that you want. That's the way Guardiola. You listen to me for the first 70 yards and you do exactly what I tell you to do. The last 30 yards, you can do whatever you want. And I think it brought some of that mentality into Rome. And the one that has benefited the most is Pellegrini, which we see is another player.
What a freaking turnaround.
I can't believe this guy. When it was before, I didn't recognize how bad he was doing. And now all of a sudden he takes shots. He takes everything. He takes fouls. He scores goals. He makes assists. And Dybala also, whether it's a little bit of luck, whether it's a little bit, because he had the freedom. I don't think that Mourinho would have told him, hey, you cannot go here. I think with Mourinho, he also had the freedom. But maybe now, because everybody is maybe closer, pushing up together, they are a little bit closer together. Because I've seen sometimes 3, 4, 5 pack, all one touch.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks good. Mm-hmm. If you're looking from the outside, it looks really good. So I think that has helped them. But take it easy. With De Rossi.
Yeah, you'll be saying that, take it easy, the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Don't be too excited, okay? Their goal is to get the fourth place. They're still 4 points from the fourth place. Okay. So
they're 4 points, but fifth place could mean also Champions League spot.
But they are, let's say in the beginning of the season, the goal was the fourth place was the Champions League.
But they were
League.
Far away from it at a certain point.
A certain point. But take it easy, okay? He's doing well, but there's still 11 games to go.
And Thursday's important.
Okay.
Against Brighton, against the
Zerbi.
Against De Zerbi, who you said he's
I think he looks up to De Zerbi. I think I've seen some of his interview and he's talking about he has talked about the Serbian Guardiola.
They both went out to dinner with him. There's like a iconic photo of them. Yeah, so many have been inspired by Guardiola's type of football.
The mentality that you bring, you know, to the locker room. And if you got the people now that are following you because of who he is,
Has he exceeded expectations so far?
He did. He
exceeded expectation, but I want to see at the end of the year.
For sure. Okay, we agree.
Okay, what? Show me this in 11 games from now, and then I'll give you all the credit.
Let me just say one more thing. The team, the players are exactly the same that they had under Mourinho, except for Angelino, I think, and somebody else. Mm-hmm. Who else
came? Was Villar is the goalkeeper?
Villar was
and also now...
Tammy's coming back.
The defender.
Hoisin?
Yeah.
Smalling?
Smalling.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Smalling what I'm saying. The timing worked out really well.
Yeah. Smalling is a good defender.
It's not that the expenditure to bring the team at a different level De Rossi.
No,
De Rossi.
They can't afford to.
Took what they gave it to him and I said, okay, let me see what I can do with the team. Mm-hmm. Now, another thing, you need to be in to win. De Rossi spends a lot of time on the three-quarter and the penalty box of the opposition. So what does that mean to you? It means if you play an attacking style soccer, there is a greater chance for you to make things happen in favor of your team.
The other thing about De Rossi, you only have until the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you don't do anything until the end of the season, hey, next year you're out. So you kind of have to, let me go and be a little bit more aggressive and try to get as many points as possible. So this is a very good chance for De Rossi because the first time he came out, he didn't do so good. Okay, if you remember.
At Spal, because they say, if you speak to Giuseppe Rossi, is somebody that I spoke to, he said that he had great ideas. He's like, we all loved him. We said we just didn't have the tools to play the style.
Didn't have the quality of
the quality of players.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's in a nice, really good position, which it could only, I think, happen in Rome because nobody else would have given him the team with 4 months to go. In Serie A.
It feels like a movie.
Yeah.
Like the best way I could describe it is it's almost too perfect if you're Roman. If you're Roman and De Rossi's playing a really good style, the energy within the stadium is unbelievable. There was a video going around of Feyenoord when it was going to extra time and the entire stadium is still singing their anthem. Rome is one of the most special. For me, probably the most special place in Italy.
And it's the best anthem.
For me, it's the most touching I've ever felt. I never felt a connection to Roma. Then I went there and I went for a derby and they won. And I understood everything that you were telling me about Rome. And I met a taxi driver and he told me, you know, maybe it's a bad thing, but he said, for Roma fans, for Romans, he said, we don't even care about our lives, our career, anything. He's like, we only care about Roma winning. The rest is thrown out of the way. So just to show their attachment.
I got a question. Maybe it's more appropriate for you, Pete. If you are the Friedkins and you already know on your head, you already put it on the line that Mourinho is going to be sacked, right? Do you think that they took a chance with De Rossi and it went well for them? Or they could have just gone on a different route and just get somebody else with a lot more experience in Serie A? For me, De Rossi was already under the radar few weeks before Mourinho got sacked. Okay, so I'm not sure if this is pure luck for them to find themselves with De Rossi and capable to do what we've been talking about.
It's like anything else.
It was a default. It was not about being a default.
It's a job. So ultimately, you have your candidates, and then you kind of have an interview process in a sense. But given the fact that you have 4 months, you're not going to be able to really get another coach that's going to come in and accept termination in June or just this 4 month contract, then your options get limited.
He said he didn't even talk about salary. He said, tell me whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
He's like, I think he only got a bonus. He's like, add in a bonus if I get Champions League qualification. But besides that, because it's not about that for De Rossi.
Yeah.
So let's move on. You spoke about creating chances, getting opportunities. Napoli-Juventus was such a weird game because in a lot of ways, Juventus played well. They had the opportunities. They had the chances. They had three goals from Dusan Vlahovic, even four goals that could have been into the back of the net, and it's a completely different game. And it's so weird to analyze it because I thought they did so many things right. Like Chiesa was on fire.
Playing on the right. That's his position.
He played, I thought he played great. There's definitely aspects to Juventus where I watched them crumble in a sense. And I watched the image multiple times of the penalty kick that Napoli got. And you watch that, like how Raspadori is able to get there before some of the Juventus players. God. That kind of attitude is definitely disappointing. But for the most part, I mean, Juventus went there and they didn't dominate in possession, right? Because Napoli had a lot of the possession, but they had
70%.
70% is crazy, but they did have the best chances of the match.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, they have so many chances. Vlahovic had chances. Alcatraz had chances. I mean, right, it was like a penalty. You know, they had a
Rugani,
lot of chances.
Rugani, right?
Rugani was risking to be the hero in the last few seconds.
You know, once now that Allegri really played, especially the first half, right? It was nice that he played really good.
Yeah, first half was good.
It seems like at the end, it's always Allegri's fault. What happens?
I agree. So, yesterday wasn't Allegri's fault.
Okay, so I
think this is the moment to blame Allegri.
I was reading some of the newspapers, right? And why you're losing 1-0, right? Why do you put
Nonge?
Do you put an 18-year-old in there when Nonge. The game is so delicate, and you put. Nonge, which in Italian is non c'è.
Non c'è. Non c'è means where is he? Non c'è means dove stai.
And then after 10 minutes, he substituted him. He substituted him
17 minutes.
Okay. Because I don't blame the kid. The kid is 18 years old. I mean, you're playing at the Maradona Stadium. You're losing 1-0. I don't know. He did the penalty. He was the cover that he made the penalty. I don't know. To me, that was not. You got Milik. You want to win the game. You got Milik on the bench, and you put
Nicolussi Caviglia, who's 24 years old. He's played a lot more than Nonge.
Yeah. So I don't know. That to me didn't seem like the right place to be.
But if Vlahovic scored those goals, if he puts the ball into the back of the net, which most of the time he would any other day, we'd be talking about
but
Juventus.
This was in the first half. Yeah. I mean, the substitution was in the second half, you know, like 20, 25 minutes into the second half.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think, Pete?
So,
no, I mean, listen, I agree with the substitution. It was a little bit of a question mark because you're looking at it as like, you got to go for this game. Why is this player coming in mm-hmm. when you have options on the bench? It's one thing when you don't have anybody on the bench, and then you sub him right out afterwards. Mm-hmm. I mean, what, you're not subbing him because he caused the foul? You sub him because he looked lost out there, or now we got to go push for to win. At that point, before you even put him in, you push to win. You should go for to get some points.
I feel bad for the kid
and
too.
To do something. Yeah,
you make him look, of course.
And they make him look terrible.
He came out and started apologizing. Yeah. For me, you know, 18 years old, never have to apologize. No. There are things that could happen in football. And I saw his comments. No.
And the thing is, you know, when he grows up a little bit, you know, when he goes home at night, he's not going to be able to sleep.
I know.
You know, and it's not his fault.
It's not.
I hope that he realizes. Yeah. It's not, but you put in, you come out after 15 minutes, you know how it looks?
That's really
it
looks bad.
You know,
that's really bad.
And also, that's his debut.
Right.
That's rough. That he's got to remember, hey, I can. Right. So hopefully he uses it as a
stimulation
for him.
This is what I see since you brought it up.
But I just wanted to say, so, you know, the substitution, I question Allegri and I expect him to be able to be a little bit more forward thinking and saying, okay, we got to get points. That's how I see it. Ultimately, you know, yes, Vlahovic scores those goals. We're talking about a different game, but it's still this, you know, the same old Juve. I'm sorry to say, because even the, you know, giving up or allowing 70% possession means that you didn't have the ball, means that you're just sitting back waiting for your moments to strike. So you can win with it. We've seen Allegri do it. He's, you know, in second place. So for the majority of time, he is winning. But you're not dominating. But we know that.
But that's why
I'm
change.
Not saying anything.
But out of all the games, in general, out of all the games, I feel like this is not. I mean, I've been very outspoken about Allegri, and I think it's extremely clear to anybody that he should never be the guy to go forward. But I just felt like this was not the game to really be like, oh, it was Allegri's fault in the game. They had the opportunities. They created the chances. Once Chiesa went into that position too, I thought the only thing about Chiesa is he's the only one that I really see with that competitive spirit. I mean, everything, even when they get the penalty and they score the goal, he's running to get the ball and putting it into the middle. I love that spirit from him. And when you watch the Juventus midfield too, it's the same old thing. Without Rabiot and without McKennie, obviously, but you know, you have Alcaraz. I know they said that he played well. I think Allegri said he played well.
No, he didn't play well. No.
Somebody said he played well.
Maybe Allegri said that, but
okay, that's what I'm saying. I thought he did.
No, let me just finish this whole thing with Juventus.
He missed a goal and he missed the ball, right? It was like a penalty.
But Gaetano, Juventus, they get themselves to the point all the time on the predicament that you say, oh my God, now we are in the position that we're not winning. Now we are losing again from 1-0. They tied the game 1-1. Okay, great. So let's see if we can... Not instead of making things happening for themselves, they go back again. They go back playing counter-attacker soccer. I said, this is the time for you to just make things happen if you really wanted to keep Juventus on the position, on the solidify the position of the second place. But by you starting to revert back on the defensive counter style, you're not going to win like that.
Yeah, he said Alcaraz had a good game tonight.
Juventus is capable to win.
He said Miretti and Alcaraz impressed me tonight.
No. I didn't see Alcaraz doing anything that changed the game at all. I mean, we were all watching the game together. To me, I think it's... I mean, it's not that I want to go against you what you just said, but to me, Allegri is the main culprit for Juventus not performing offensive-wise. He's the one that is skipping them from getting inside the box.
The first half, they played well.
I thought they played really well.
The first half, they played really well. They had the chances. They hit the post.
I mean, but the game is 90 minutes, but you can play great the first half, but then you have to continue.
Let's talk about Napoli, because under Francesco Calzona, it's another one that it seems like he's brought back a little bit of the spirit of Napoli. I'm not going to say Napoli of Spalletti is back, but I saw an interesting stat. Mazzarri's 12 games in Serie A, 9 goals scored. Calzona's 3 games in Serie A, 9 goals scored. The same
with the 6 goals.
It's all right. Bonus. Hey, they struggled in the small games as well. But I saw a Napoli that was very light. They looked like themselves. They were calm when they got to a certain point. They were enjoying themselves. Maybe they suffered in the first half. I'll agree with that. But a Napoli that suffered and they stayed into the match for 90 minutes. That's not what I saw recently in Napoli for the past games. For me, that comes down to the coaching. And I listened to what he says, Calzona, and he's like, I step back. It's not that I need to micromanage and tell everybody what they need to do. His handling of the locker room has also been great. And I thought Kvara finally looked like himself. He was taking on his man. He was confident. He was getting the ball in positions that he liked to. Osimhen didn't have a good game.
Brema did a job on him.
He had no touches the entire match.
Yet
they still found a way to get the win. And there was a hunger. The fact that they got to the ball even on the penalty kick first, Raspadori comes in off the bench. I was impressed. I know that they didn't play by all metrics. If Vlahovic scores the goals, we would have said that it wasn't a good game. But I was impressed by the way they were able to stay in the match. And I think good things are coming for this Napoli because they're another one too. They're not that far away. They needed to win. Nobody thought they could win, but they got the job done.
So I think going back to Calzone, he got a little bit lucky on this game. But you need a little bit of luck because the guy hits the... Juventus played well in the first half. The guy hits the post. He had three clear chances, but of course you missed. And then, of course, Kvaratskhelia takes that shot. He hits somebody, and it deflected, and it goes in. So you had a little bit of luck, but it's the coach, though. He's got a lot to do with it. Like I think you said, you know, maybe you give him a little bit. Hey, you guys, you could play. You know what you're doing. Go out there and do what you know how to do. And maybe that goes a long way with this kind of players.
You know what I know?
Yeah, and you know, Mazzarri, Yeah, but that is always an excuse. There's always, it was always
his body language is always.
Yeah, his body language. He's on the bench. He's like this.
Come on, man.
He's like he's crying. And
I didn't know how the light was going to go off.
Yeah, it. Man.
That's funny.
You guys can make a nice skit.
This is ASMR.
SNL IFTV style.
Sounds like you're yanking a chainsaw.
You having fun?
Yeah, listen. Body language makes a big difference, Pete. If you are a player and you see your coach doing you get affected.
How is the Brooklyn Italians team that you coach?
Nobody has ever complained about my coach.
Can you remind the people when you watch that?
Oh, my God.
The only one that I had a problem with was Victor.
Screaming on top of his lungs.
That's right.
He wanted to kill the referee a couple of times.
Oh, this is Antonio coaching an over, 40 team, 50 team?
Over 50.
Over 50 local team. And he hates Antonio Conte.
Local team. We're one of the best teams in the United States.
Are they not a local tradition team?
Well, local, but
local guys.
But we are internationally known. All right.
By who?
By all the United States, the Brooklyn Italian. They're not.
You say internationally known.
Don't say we. Don't include we in there. I don't think you.
You know how the coaches, they have the lines where you're supposed to stay inside. Yeah. His line were inside the field because he was always inside the field.
What's so funny is that he literally complains every time I'm watching Inzaghi he's running down the sideline. He's like, stay inside the box, send them off. Yeah, he's the one that does that. Anyway, to the point. The thing that I liked about Calzona too is the way that the team was pressing. I felt like it was a lot more organized than it was in the past. I know they don't have the best defenders naturally. One thing I was reading up on is that when Calzona took over Slovakia for the Euros, there was not a lot of enthusiasm around him, around the team at first. Then he got him qualified for the Euros. But one of his specialties is solidifying defensively. Not meaning that he's going to be defensive and low block like Allegri is, but he tries to organize his team a lot better. And I saw that at moments, even though they did get a lot of chances.
Yeah. I think the first thing that you do, any coach that comes into a situation is like, how can we control situations? How can we control different parts of the game? And that always comes down to, is the team organized? Is the team going to be a well-oiled machine where they're going to move side to side and just be able to contain? That's number one. Then two, you know, this team won a Scudetto last year. They know how to play. There's talented players here. You know, there's not this big, big changing of the guard. You lose the defense, really, because I think Kim was a big part of that team. But I think what they really lost was a self-confidence.
Yeah.
That's what I think came out.
Di Lorenzo is unrecognizable. So
what I see is, I think he came in just, like Gaetano said, do your thing. Play the way that you guys know how to play. We make slight adjustments, but we need to be the players that we were, right? And I think a lot of it comes down to the results that you get. Like, Barcelona, that you tie Barcelona, when Osimhen scored that goal, Napoli were the team that looked like they were going to score again. You know, then Cagliari happened. You know, it was
if Politano puts the ball to the back of the net.
Or even passes Simeone, it's 2-0. And all of a sudden, and then Sassuolo, I think, was a nice crowning moment for Napoli, where Osimhen gets the hat trick, gets the goals.
Quadra
scores 2 goals. So, like, all of a sudden, now they're feeling good.
Yeah.
You have this Juventus game where, you know, if there is a game, this is the one that you have. You know, if you win, the fans are going to love you.
Did you hear them after the
game?
And
they won, you know?
My gosh, the Maradona after the game. It's now 5 years that Juventus don't win there. And obviously, Napoli fans, everybody watching that's a Napoli fan understands the hatred and the rivalry, the North versus the South. It's as peak as it gets for Napoli fans for how they feel about the power of the North represented by Juventus. So you could feel that they were letting out that anger, of course, but also just the relief. It's like a breath of fresh air. Finally, this is the team that we remember, even if the style of play is a little bit different. Let's go to
Let me just add one more thing, okay? At some point, there was a chant into the stadium that says, "Skin on Salta, Juventus away." And I saw even ADL doing all of this thing here over the chair. Oh, it was jumping. Doing? Oh, yeah.
What was he doing?
It was jumping.
How did he jump?
"Skin on Salta, Juventus away." And then it was doing like that.
He was sitting on the chair. Sitting. You see that?
Yeah, that was funny.
We just wanted him to do it.
That was funny.
And one other thing about ADL, what was he complaining before game? Was it DAZN?
No, not us. It was DAZN. He said they didn't have the rights to have their cameras
to be there.
But then, he didn't want them to. Yeah, that's why he said no interviews to DAZN. He didn't want them to be recording him. But then, what I heard is that
they were supposed to be there.
What I heard is that it was even their cameras that were allowed to be there.
Right.
He's been mad about a lot of stuff lately. He's not happy about the stuff that's going on behind the scenes at Serie A, and also even the Club World Cup with Juventus. He threw a lot of shots. You got something else about Napoli?
No, that was it. I wanted to know what it was all upset.
Yeah, he was.
I think that was his camera that were there, or they belonged there anyway.
Let's talk about the. No, you know what? We'll save. We'll save the Milan. We'll save the Milan one. We'll do Atalanta Bologna, a game that I got very, 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 very wrong, because Atalanta at home, they were 7 home wins in a row. They never did 8 before. I thought that they've been the second best team in Italy in the past couple of matches, besides the game against Inter where they lost 4-0. I said, all right, they're going to throw that one away and they're going to be fine. They go up 1-0 and I'm like, all right, perfect. This is exactly how the game is going to go. For some reason, maybe I'm naive, I kept feeling like I love the story of Bologna. It's my favorite story in the Serie A. Thiago Motta has been the best coach all season. But I thought to myself, they're going to slip up. There's no way that they're going to go away. 3 of their 4 losses were away from home. Every stat that I had told me Bologna was going to lose this game. And then they ended up winning 2-1. And they showed once again in the top games, in the big moments, they always show up against the big teams. Even if the names are not the best, they've got guys that are performing. Zirkzee gets double-digit goals, 10 goals on the season. Ferguson in the midfield was brilliant. Calafiori at the back once again, but it really is all led by Thiago Motta. What a resume he's building for himself this year with Bologna. What do you guys think?
It's the mentality of the coach. It's nothing that, you know, we in Italy, we have the ability to discover and maybe to produce, I don't know, because of the Scuola del Calcio, we have some of the best coaches in the world, not just in Italy, in Europe.
I mean, we had, on last year's podium, 3 out of the 4 best coaches in the world were Italian. Spalletti, Inzaghi, and De Zerbi.
De Zerbi.
And then Guardiola was first, but we were the 3 after.
What about Ancelotti?
I don't think Ancelotti was on the list yesterday in like the FIFA men's whatever. Okay. Sorry.
So, but again, I don't understand. Now we have a lot of other names, lot of other names on the periphery already building up, because it's not their first year. It's already two plus year that they've been showing that they're very capable of doing their job.
Even Gilardino. What he did against Inter today was.
Yeah. So again, what I'm saying is, it's the coaching mentality, this old guard that includes. Even Pioli, I would throw Pioli inside, because Pioli is not capable to defend. Pioli is a good coach, very good coach, but he's incapable to defend and to manage the game from the beginning to the very end. He's very good maybe for half a game or 3/4 of the game, but then he cannot really handle the stress. I'll tell you the reason why.
So what were you saying? No.
What I'm trying to say is, you don't need to bring Tomori and the other guy 2 minutes.
Go to your original point.
My original point is this. We have the coaching, we have the know-how, we have the knowledge. Why can't we just put it all together and make all Italy play in almost the same style of soccer?
Well, slowly, I feel like we are. It's actually the moment that has struck me the most is that it's old. I feel like we're blending really well the old school of like defending, because Bologna defend extremely well. They're the 3rd best defense in Serie A, 24 goals conceded. It goes unnoticed, but then there's also the freedom. There's like a perfect balance. That's what all the young guys are doing, I think. Like the guys like Thiago Motta, Gilardino, Palladino, they have the foundation of, yes, we're going to defend. We're not going to overexpose ourselves, but we're also going to push forward and be a little bit more modern. That's how I see it, at least.
Yeah, and I think also, like, if you look at the Bologna players, they're big, they're physical. A lot of these guys playing in a certain position. So you have that perfect mix, right? So you can, you know, when you have to play a rough, tough game, you're able to compete at that front, right? Then when you see them play from the back, I mean, they do it just as, you know, just as good as Inzaghi's Inter. You know, like, they're going to move the ball side to side, attract the team in, and then, shoot up. And get the ball to Zirkzee that then plays his one touch, you know, it's a joy to watch. And I think all the players have bought in to the system. And the beauty is, you know, that's why I say all the time, and I think even with Inzaghi, the beauty is the fact that you can play this offensive style while also maintaining a balance. And that's something that, you know, when we keep on talking about Allegri, that he's always worried about the balance of the game or the balance of the team. Well, you have two perfect examples with Inter and Bologna that you can score a lot of goals and still maintain,
well said,
you know, a clean sheet. And, you know, Thiago Motta, we know. I think he's someone that, let's not forget, before Bologna job, kept the Spezia, where Spezia for 2 years should have went down to Serie B. They had two overqualified coaches, right. Italiano and Thiago Motta, that kept them up. And, you know, as a, I guess, a reward or whatever, as a token of that, you know, he's got this team going for Champions League.
They're in fourth place, yeah. 51 points, 41 goals scored, 24 conceded. I said it, third best defense in the league. What do you make of it?
I think it starts from the top. I think that Saputo, it created an environment which it's a nice environment, and Thiago Motta is the right coach for that environment, and I think they keep the locker room loose. I think that the players look like they all get together. I mean, I see the players running to the coach and the coach the way he looks at the players, the way he embraces the players. And no matter what happens, Thiago Motta is there, and I feel like he's going to figure it out how to do it. You know, he doesn't lose it. He doesn't lose.
He didn't look upset when they were down 1-0. You're right. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Yeah, you know, it seems okay. Yep. Well, you know, we're going to figure this out. And of course, they got this incredible player in Zirkzee, also known as Ziggy Zaghi. I mean, the guy is unbelievable. The guy is really good. I mean, he's got some moves. And the thing that impresses me most is that this guy, you know, he's playing in a position which he probably think he was not going to play in that position.
He actually told Thiago Motta, yeah. I was listening to his interview, he told Thiago Motta when he joined, he said, I don't want to play as a lone nine. He said, I need a striker next to me. Yeah. Thiago Motta said, listen, trust me, I'm telling you now, with the qualities you have, you don't need a second striker. You don't need a big hold of man. It's like, you could do the job.
Right. And if you would have told me, I would have said, yes, he needs a center forward. Yeah. You won't be able to do it.
Yeah.
So that's also coaching. That's also coaching.
That's improving the quality of the players. There's so many players that you could look at, and you said, Thiago Motta has made them better. He's increased their transfer value. And the thing it's good that we hit all those points. The thing that I love is just the mentality of the squad. I'll read you now. Bologna, beaten Lazio twice, beaten Atalanta twice, beat Roma, knocked Inter out of the Coppa Italia, and then have ties against Inter, Juventus, Milan, and Napoli. All teams that spent significantly more money, yet they never back down. It's so well built, and every single player understands their role in the team. The only unfortunate thing is, but we spoke about this before, is that even if they do get Champions League, which, to be honest, I kept thinking eventually it's going to die out. And even if they finished outside of top four, it would still be a massive success. The only thing is now, you know, they might start getting picked apart.
What do you mean picked apart? Do you have to be forced to sell?
No, like, you know, Thiago Motta is probably going to get a really big job. There's a lot of jobs on the line. There's Barcelona, reality. Liverpool, Juventus, Milan.
You have to invest money if you want to be in the Champions League.
But even if they do invest money, if a guy like Thiago Motta gets a call from a big team.
They don't have the money for Champions League.
But you could bet on Sartori, who he's also the brains behind a lot of this, he's got that next guy lined up. He built something that nobody really expected. And if I'm not wrong, I believe I remember seeing in the summertime that Thiago Motta wasn't that happy with the transfer market. He thought that he needed more pieces, and that it is also the dynamic, the trio of having management, coaching, and players all be on the same page, it forms this beautiful result.
It's always important to have this like checks and balance, even within a coach and a sporting director. You know, there have to be some type of...
Like Sadi and Lotito at Lazio.
Not exactly, you know, but ultimately what it comes down to is like there's got to be an exchanging of opinions and seeing a certain style, but then ultimately have to have a group together that comes in, and the sporting director has a vision, and he sees that Thiago Motta is the one that can take the team to the promised land, let's say. And that's the reality that they're in right now. Unfortunately, you know, it's this just the way that this game is. It's an international market. Players start doing good. They get that fourth spot. You know, other teams are going to be there waiting, you know, waiting to poach. Sartori, I think, would have someone lined up. But remember, changing coaches is not as easy as, you know, I'm not even going to say changing players, but it's a difficult task. Mm. It's not so easy. So
changing a great coach.
Yeah, changing a great coach. Not a regular coach. Yes. No, let me rephrase. Yes, mm-hmm. Changing a great coach. Getting somebody that can fill Thiago Motta's shoes is not going to be easy.
There's a lot of guys down the list. No, you know, if they did make Champions League football and you assume that Thiago Motta goes, there's going to be the guys that missed out, like Italiano, right? Yeah. They're Palladino, Gilardino. They all have similar philosophies on the way that they come from that coaching school. So I'm sure that they would be on the list. And also Sartori shown, if they get big money for their players, they can reinvest in the squad. It's just a shame because you would love to see this group go far in Europe if they do make that. Let's go.
One more thing. Can you just imagine? Can you just imagine Thiago Motta with Vlahovic, Milik, and the Chiesa as a three of the best strikers on the paper that we have in the entire Serie A?
I think you get rid of
even
Milik
with the,
there.
With Juventus got a solid defense.
Yildiz maybe.
Hey, no. I'll leave Milik. Yildiz. No, it's okay. Yildiz, I'll let him grow a little bit, little by little. But with those three strikers, the defense, which is pretty solid that Juventus has, and you don't need really that much of a stronger midfield. Yeah, you need it. It's not that key. Thiago Motta would not be in the position to have Juventus been 16 points, 15 points away from Inter.
I got a question. Who would do worse? What's one coach that would do worse than this Juventus?
Oh, with this Juventus?
Yeah. Nobody. Who would do worse?
Nobody.
Okay. So who's a coach that would do worse with this Juventus? Yeah. I mean, there's a few.
Maybe Come Pioli.
On. You think there's they would do much worse than this Juve?
Yes.
Being 15 Mazzari. Points behind?
Mazzari. Mazzari is not part of the coaching.
You're saying the 20 coaches right now.
Who would do worse?
Ballardini.
It's almost hard to choose. Jokes aside. What are you
going to say? Go ahead. Say it.
I was going to say Pippo Inzaghi.
Watch out. That's my buddy.
That's true, actually. Yeah, you know what? There are a lot of choices.
There's a bunch.
Let's go on. Let's talk about the game that caused so much controversy. I couldn't believe it. A game that got absolutely lost. I want to say that we should talk about the football first, but I feel like we're not going to get to. We might as well just talk about the controversies first, and then we could talk about the football, which usually we like to do the reverse. Milan won the game in the end. Lazio finished the game with 8 players, 3 red cards. Di Bello, who, to Antonio's credit, called out. He called him out hard the other week, saying how much he does not appreciate the way that he officiates matches. I think we can all agree that he lost total control of the game. It was almost embarrassing to watch. They're saying that even for a month, he's going to not be able to officiate at the top level. Rocchi, who oversees everything, admitted that mistakes were made. But let's break down the mistakes. Where are we going to start from?
I would say the last red card, it was really uncalled for. I mean, what's his name?
Guendouzi.
He gets harassed by Pulisic. He gets pulled and just almost slammed on the floor. The guy gets up. He gets a reaction. He gets a reaction that was not really violent, but nevertheless was a reaction. But it's still within the yellow. Mm-hmm. But not the red. Actually, I would let it go because it's like a natural reaction to somebody else, because he didn't go over there and he pounded. He just went over there and just...
Also, for the game, the way that the game was going, right? Like, think about it. You had just given 2 red cards. Lazio felt very hard done by the penalty kick that they didn't receive. Like, just think about all these things. And I know this might not be a great explanation of it, but I think a referee also has to manage moments. You're now going to send off a guy for... For me, not a red card. I agree with you. For Guendouzi, yes, it was aggressive. But in that moment, don't you think to yourself, doesn't Di Bello think to himself or any of the VAR officials say, you know what? It might not be good if we do this. It's going to cause even more fights to not be a red card.
He lost. He totally lost.
You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy. You don't agree.
No, I agree. I don't think...
For Guendouzi, we're talking about.
Yeah. I don't think you should have got a red card. Are you crazy? I mean, this is really ridiculous. I mean, a player gets a yellow card And then 5 minutes later, he gets another yellow card, and he goes like this. And all of a sudden, it's a red card. But because the guy went like this,
yeah, that's wrong.
You know, and you're gonna ruin the game because the guy was upset that he got a yellow card. Come on, you don't give a red. There's too many yellow cards in Serie A. There are too many red cards in Serie A. Coaches get red card. I mean, Juric got a red card.
It's like you can't speak anymore.
Now all of a sudden, you might get 2-3 games. For what? If you get a red card, the red card is for that game. The next, if you were upset and you said a bad word, hey, you were. It's in the heat of the game.
Matosic, that's what happened to Matosic. Yeah. He was sent up for dissent. Yeah. For me, I mean, we don't know what he said, but another stupid one. Why are you giving a red card? Why are you giving a second?
That's sometimes wrong. That is wrong.
I mean, the guy, okay, he pushed the guy. Maybe he was, but that's not a red card. Yeah. Okay, he must have said something. Hey, you're as a referee, you know how many things they say? You got to listen, you know, the language that they talk in the NBA when they talk about, players to players.
Cursing each other big time.
Holy shit. The things that they say about that, you know, during the game. And I've seen American football coaches go in the face of the referee yelling.
It's different, yeah.
They don't get a red card. But even if you, okay, but the next game, it's got nothing to do with the next game. It's for that game. If you punch somebody, okay.
Yeah, I agree.
I understand. If you cannot punch somebody. If
a
you
violent
punch somebody,
tackle.
Violent tackle. You're going to break somebody's leg. Hey, you're out. I don't care how many weeks you're going to get.
What do you think, P?
But if a coach, you know, says a bad word, somebody, it's in the heat of the game. Mm-hmm. Let it go. Let the game, let this guy play.
I agree. Yeah.
No, I think he lost total control of the game, ultimately, with the decisions that he made. I think the one that really stands out to me is what Gaetano was saying. Marušić, you know, by him, all we can really see is him like throwing his arm like this. But from a foul that you weren't even going to give a yellow, it turned into a red card. Straight red.
Yeah.
And I mean, I say it all the time, and I'll repeat myself every single time. You watch the Premier League, and the players are literally telling the ref, F off, right? And they don't even get a yellow card. So at that point, you know, I get it. Within the rule books, it states, you know, dissent or certain things. But at the same time,
there's so many things that get said.
If you're far away and you see somebody go like that, like you're really going to go and give the guy a red card. Yeah. I feel like giving him a yellow card would have sufficed, maybe. I don't know if he was already on the first yellow card right now.
Richie was already in the yellow card.
You go to
Richie too. Richie got sent off for nothing.
Yeah, because he went like this.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. But it happened even in La Liga. Yeah. Jude Bellingham, one of the most scandalous decisions I've ever seen from a referee. We're all watching it here. The ball's in the box. They score a goal. And Jude Bellingham gets sent off for telling the referee the truth that it was a goal. Like, are we joking? Well,
because there's the ego involved. That's also part of the ref. Unfortunately, they have to show that they have control.
Power.
But then what ultimately happens is, in this case, it just makes a mockery of the game.
Yeah.
And what happens is, what we saw at the end of the Lazio-Milan game was
a brawl.
But
because the guy, the referee, God didn't do his job.
I'm sure he was about to give another bunch of red cards on the brawl, and then it was stopped from somebody else. I said, hey, watch what you're doing.
Lazio, was it last year or 2 years ago, when they played Inter? Inter had a player on the floor, and Lazio played on and ultimately scored and won the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the thing is, there's a level of understanding, or at least there's a gentleman's card that it's supposed to use. And ultimately, Pulisic...
We didn't get into it yet.
No, but we're still talking about the referee decisions.
So what do you think about it?
No. For me, unfortunately, Pellegrini got fooled.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do that with the yellow card, it's a second yellow and it's a red card. And it's very unfortunate and it's part of what happens. But for me, Pulisic missed out and did not do the gentlemanly thing.
No.
I'm sorry.
If you play soccer, he doesn't even realize.
You see the guy going like this. Everyone's looking that there's the player on the floor. He's literally going like this. And Pulisic just looked like he was disinterested, knowing that he was going to pull a fast one. Like I said, by all means, it's part of the game. He's trying to get an advantage, and he went after the ball, and he has every right to do it. But as far as the gentleman status of
I don't think he even realizes.
Soccer, no, he realizes.
I think the ball is past him.
Hold on, one second. Purposely slowing down and then speeds off. Oh. And Pellegrini is the stupid one, because if you want to see that the guy is on the floor like that, like Bonetti said, you make the decision and you kick the ball out.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm going to tell you, this is more on involuntary things that the Pulisic did. I'll tell you what, the Pulisic involuntarily or unfortunately, he exploited the youth and inexperience of Pellegrini. Because Pellegrini, Pulisic, he didn't hear the whistle.
There was no whistle.
Said, okay, let me just run. The guy, he took him down. I don't think Pulisic meant or he had an intention to say, let me see if I can get this guy here at red.
I agree. I'm not saying he was trying to get the red. I'm saying that he slowed down, then once he realized he saw the opportunity, he took it. Let's explain the situation.
Hold on.
In soccer, there's a gentleman rule. Listen.
I'm just saying.
He didn't do it. And that's why it boiled over to what it was.
So the play that they're talking about, Tati Castellanos gets hit in the head. He's bleeding from the mouth. He's got the tissue in his mouth afterwards. You could see it. The ball is heading out. Pellegrini doesn't. He wants the call to be made, right? The call is never made. The referee is about to. He doesn't make it. Pellegrini makes a mistake. He should have just put the ball out and everything would be done. That's correct, right?
Yes,
Pellegrini made a mistake. Pulisic, for me, did absolutely nothing wrong. I don't even think he realizes. But let's go before that. Di Bello, it is in the rules. If there is a head injury, you stop the game. If there is a head injury, you stop the game. Every single time somebody gets hit in the head, the game is stopped. So the game should have been stopped by Di Bello. Now, he doesn't realize. But where's the linesman? Where's the VAR? Is anybody telling him, like, look, somebody's down on the ground? He looks back. He sees him on the ground. Maybe he doesn't realize that it's a head injury. But it's such an unfortunate way that it happened. I think there's fault on all sides. There's fault on Di Bello for not making the call. Then there's also the fault on Pellegrini for why are you not just putting the ball out? You're not the one that controls the game.
Mm-hmm. You Pulisic haven't said anything the least yet. One. But Marco, you know what?
For me, Pulisic didn't do anything wrong.
Gaetano, the only thing that Marco didn't have, that is the linesman, he just lifted the flag only when Pulisic was pulled down to say, hey, that's a foul right there. But he totally disregarded the fact that the guy was over there, Tati Castellano was on the floor, and that the guy, that Di Bello was about to stop the game. So it was a total failure on decision-making from the referee standpoint. I will not fault Pellegrini. Pulisic has got no blame on this.
For Pellegrini, you have to play the whistle, and you have to just at least put the ball out.
Unfortunate, the referee screwed up big time, because the guy is on the floor, his hands are on his head, he turns around and he sees and he goes like this, like he's going to whistle. So you're fooling everybody. Yeah. Yeah. You're fooling everybody that you're going to whistle, and then you turn around and you say play on. To me, Di Bello is a fault from the beginning. Is the guy that screwed up and lost control of that game. Number two, you play the whistle. And that's it. That's what they taught me from the beginning. You play the whistle. That's number two. That's all I have to say.
What about Pulisic?
He didn't do anything wrong. He tried.
According to Peter, it's not a gentleman. For me, he didn't hear the whistle.
If there's no whistle, you play on.
There's no written rules.
Okay, but now.
But when you see that the guy is like this, obviously this is interested for the ball. And you see he knows that the guy's on the floor too.
You know how many times players are on the floor and everybody's playing?
I know.
Okay. There's no way that he knows that it's a head injury. Let me stop.
I'm not saying there's a head injury, but now, in general, the player is literally going like this.
If you put the mind in Pulisic, you have to think, wait a second. The referee just said that everything's good. He was about to whistle, but then he didn't. So he has to do
that. I'm not saying it's his fault. I'm just saying gentleman rules.
Yeah.
He was not part of it.
But on the great scheme of things, on a scale of 1 to 10, excuse me,
Gaetano. But on the new rules that there are now, there are a lot of players on the floor.
That you play on.
And you play on.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, they pass even in front of the guys on the floor. Mm-hmm. But this was a head injury. No. So the referee
is supposed to stop the game.
He goes like this.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
He has to either blow it.
Right.
Or after that happens, he said, no, my fault.
Right.
I was going to blow the head.
That's it. I agree.
And you were able to de-escalate. Right.
So once the VAR could have done. No. Once that happens. I agree with you. Once it happened and he sees what happened over there, he says, hey.
I was sbagliato io. That's it.
Yeah. I made a mistake. Stop the game and don't give a red card.
That's right. You're right. I agree 100%.
You know, sometimes they're a freak. Why can he say I made a mistake? I mean, because you could see it on the video.
He went like this.
He was going to blow. You know, and then you go and give a red card. I don't know.
I know, Bello screwed up. I know you're not saying this, but Pulisic is the comments from Pulisic now. He's getting death threats from Lazio fans and all this stuff.
No.
For me, guys, it's multiple things can be true. You could be mad at the decisions that Di Bello made, but it doesn't have to be at the expense of Pulisic.
No.
So I feel bad when I'm seeing these things.
You play
even
Guendouzi,
for me, he did nothing wrong. This is part of the game. I don't think he did anything dirty.
But that's what we're saying. We're saying that Di Bello lost control of this game from that point on.
Yeah.
From that point on, he could have said, I made a mistake. Let's stop the game. And nothing would have happened. In this game, it would have been this game would have ended up 11 against 11.
But Gattano, let me ask you one more thing, and then we finish up with this, and then we'll talk about the game.
Let's talk about the game.
Why is the VAR room said, hey, you know, you made a mistake? I know it's not reviewable, but they said, yo, you made a mistake. You can still fix this. Whistle, and then and get things.
It looked like the VAR room checked out.
What the hell is going on?
All the situations. I feel like he was kind of like on his own. I felt like Di Bello was doing whatever he wanted.
Well, because
was there any discussion
with dissent? He can say he told me this. I'm giving him that.
Jesus Christ!
And the other one. Was Guendouzi on a yellow card already? Because if he was, then that yellow, even though he gave a straight red, you know, it's his reaction. He got a second yellow.
And the other thing is, he didn't get any help from the linesman. The linesman was right there.
What the hell was going on?
He could say, hey, listen.
Head injury.
You know, and they could have talked about it, and that's it. But
I'm not going after saying, I'm just saying, straight red. It was a straight red. So he didn't even have a yellow card before.
Wow. That's bad.
So that I think is too much.
Way like, over.
You see that he pushes him. Yellow card. Hey. Enough.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the game?
Yeah, let's talk about the game. I actually, this is what's funny. I thought Lazio played a good game.
They played great.
When it was 11v11, Lazio were the better team. They were creating chances. They were creating opportunities. Defensively, I thought they were very solid. They were missing a little bit in the attack to put the ball into the back of the net, you know, like a proper striker that was up there. But I thought they were doing so many things well. And if that game ended 11v11, I don't think there's any way that Milan was going to come away with a win for the way that you guys were playing.
Well, listen, the first half, I only remember Pulisic taking that shot that it was saved. It was a nice shot, but then that was the Vecino just by mistake almost putting a goal on the net in the first half. And then Giroud, right after Pulisic took that shot on the corner.
He totally missed the header
very badly. But the second half was a lot more interesting. To me, Lazio played a lot better when they were 10v11 than when they were 11v11. Immobile had a clear chance two times. Had two very good chances. One time with the blonde kid over there, I forgot his name.
Isaksen.
The guy would have taken the shot himself because Magnan was almost on a low position. He could have just sky the ball into the net. Top to bottom to top. And then the second time, our best striker of the national team. I mean, of the past, Immobile finds himself with the ball on the feet. And he puts the ball wide when Magnan was way closer to the first post. So, you know, again, I said to myself, Pioli makes these stupid moves of bringing Tomori and Thiago 5 minutes before the end of the game when those people, you need some time to gel again into the game situation. And then it takes over the two best defenders that we had. We had, Kjaer and what's his name? And the other kid,
Gabbia.
And Gabbia playing spectacular defense. I mean, not flawless, but nevertheless, it was a very solid defense. So you take them out. What kind of decision making is that? What are you afraid? Instead of adding defender to solidify the defense, he changes, player to player. What do you? I cannot make any sense of this thing here. This Pioli, for me, it's very hard to understand what does Giovanni said.
What did you guys make about the game?
I thought Lazio played well. It's strange Lazio team. I saw them play against the Bayern, and I said, this team is the number two team in Serie A. They play so well. They have the talent. They have the players. But why can't you do it every... If they would play like that every week, they would be number two in Italy. There's nobody better than Inter. But they would be the number two team. But then, you know, it's up and down, up and down. Why? I don't know. Is it the coach? I don't
know. Juggling too many competitions?
No.
According to Sarri, yes. So? According to Sarri, yes.
No. I think so. They're still in the Coppa Italia. They're still in Champions League. They're very much in Champions League tomorrow. In a couple hours, if you're watching this,
they're fighting for a spot into the cups
well,
in Italy.
I think now the Champions League is
not off champions,
the,
but a
Champions League now is off the table for them to qualify top five with the loss against Milan. I think that there's no way. But there's so many problems within. I mean, it's almost embarrassing. What comes out. We talked about being healthy. We talked about Sartori, having great management, good cohesion. They're the opposite. I mean, you hear Sarri come out and say, you know, when you ask for player A and then I get player C or D, it's obviously not me who did the calcio mercato. And then Lotito says, you stop complaining. You and the players got to stop complaining. Go out there and do your job. It's not the right way that they run a club. It's really, it's a shame because I think that they can do a lot of great things like you mentioned. They play some football that's remarkable and you're so excited by it. And then there's other times that you just feel disappointed that they're not able to replicate that on a daily basis.
No,
and
not consistent.
And they don't have the, I feel like they just don't have the infrastructure to do it. They're not like a solid, healthy club that gets promotion from the youth team, that has a direttore sportivo that is planning ahead. I don't know. That's my take on it, that they don't have that.
No, they don't. They don't have a really good youth program. A lot of the players don't end up playing anywhere else than like Serie C. And then, you know, on the sporting director, they had Tare at the time. Now Lotito looks like he's the one that's really making the choices. And to be quite honest, you know, you sell Milinkovic-Savic, you get 40 million minimum in the Champions League. You know, that's at least 75 million. Who did you invest it in? Who did you buy?
Camada.
Who did you figure out to help this team? And even with all that, you know, we're complaining obviously of their form, but they still went through the group stage in Champions League and have, you know, let's say 50-50 chance of going through.
You think
through
it's 50-50?
I think Bayern at home is tough, but you have the 1-0, so I give them a little bit.
1-0 feels like nothing to me.
Of course, but for me, Bayern hasn't been playing great, huh? They haven't been playing great.
I know,
but... Hey, but you know what I believe? That Tare...
I'm scared for tomorrow.
Pete, it's not easy.
No, I'm scared for tomorrow. Marco, Pete is right. I mean, Tare was the balancing factor that regardless of the mercato, Tare always had the newcomers filling in the position like they were playing for a long time. You know, Lazio sold a lot of good players. And Tare was always, to me, very important on bringing the right replacement to fill in the spots that were needed at the time.
I mean, listen, not everybody. All these sporting directors make it. I don't think Tade is like one of the top directors.
He was never. But now you can see that.
I mean, they went after. They got Muriqi, for example. He was a bust. Wow. So what I'm trying to say is like, okay, not everyone that he's touched turned into gold. The thing is that there was somebody there that had maybe a plan or at least has the experience in the game. Lotito. For him, you know, he's a president. He owns the team.
He pulled the De Laurentiis.
I don't think he's the sporting genius behind Lazio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. Anything else, guys? Anything that we missed from this weekend of Serie A?
We missed Mike.
Oh, what about Inter?
You just said that you didn't miss Mike.
No, we missed Mike. Miss Mike. Oh, Enrico said, Wando, when is Mike
Inter.
Coming back?
Who's Inter?
The producer is
who's Inter? They're in a different league.
That's right.
They're not in Serie A.
You know what, Pete? I already celebrated Inter Scudetto already.
Serie A Triple A.
Oh, are you
Triple A? Let's finish with, is the campionato
over? Yes, it
is. Whoa! Can you bring the trophy?
Bring the trophy.
I said after the Atalanta.
There you go. Thank you.
All right.
Oh, Leo.
I just want to tell you, I spoke to a few Inter fans today. They say it's not over yet.
No, come on.
Yeah.
Who is that? Maurizio?
Yeah, no, Joguli.
Joguli says no?
Yeah, it's not over. I said, no. It's not over.
Listen. But, if we end up losing this campionato.
Listen, I agree with you. I agree with you.
I mean, 15 points, you also beat the top teams. You have Bologna upcoming, but even if you lose that game,
and then Napoli at home, have and Atletico in the mix.
Too many.
By the way, guys.
You the only thing today is, you know, you don't win by 4 goals. So it's a disappointment.
Okay. That's okay.
You didn't play that great, right?
No. First half was better.
Yeah, they got a free penalty. They have to get for free something every week. So they got a penalty today.
Yo, you know I'm nervous for you in Champions League. I don't know why. I just got a lot of negativity lately with their teams in
You're
Champions
nervous?
League.
You nervous? I'm not nervous. I feel really bad.
Lately.
I hope they get out in Champions League.
I was watching Atletico's game. They're just so good at home. Yeah. And then I'm like, how the hell did Inter only win 1-0?
Atletico
at home. Did you feel bad at the Champions League final?
No, I felt good in the Champions League final.
Well, I didn't feel bad on the Champions League final.
I was telling one of the guys I was with just today, an Inter fan, huge Inter fan. He was telling me, he's like, he brought up what we talked about on the podcast. He said, this is the best time I've ever enjoyed as an Inter fan. Mm-hmm. He's like, I've never felt this before. I've never seen us play such good football while also getting results. And he said, I tell him at the Champions League final at halftime, we were sure that Inter were going to win. When it was 0-0 at halftime against Manchester City, and then the whole idea was like, oh, we're going to bring Lukaku in, and if you could stop them at the first half. You remember? We really believed. So maybe it's true. Maybe the opposite of what I feel will happen, but
well, yeah.
I'm nervous. Lazio, I got 70% Bayern go through.
No, 70%. You're wrong.
I hope.
I will say Lazio, mark my word, guys, and hold me to this, okay?
What are we holding to?
Yeah,
Lazio is going to qualify 60-40.
Oh, so they're not qualified. What are you saying? Are they qualifying or not?
60% Lazio. Let's make it. If I say 60% Lazio.
So we're not
Lazio,
that far off. I said 70% no. Bayern. So
but 30%. You said Bayern, I said Lazio.
It's a 30% difference.
I say Lazio, they're going to come back, they're going to move to the next round. End of the story. And so it's actually Roma against the De Zerbi and AC Milan against...
So all the Italian teams
are
going
to
go
through. They are. Okay. We are Italian. We have the push for the Italian.
All right.
I'm nervous.
You're nervous?
I'm not nervous.
Well, because you got coffee before.
I'm back. No, I've been... I don't know why. It's keeping me up awake from games that they play.
Atletico is very tough at home. And
will it not be nice if they win
that stadium?
The fans. Morata got back to score. He went 8 games without a goal. Then he scored. He missed the penalty, but then he scored.
These guys, they're gonna come at 100 miles an hour. Yeah, you. If you can in the first half,
Antoine Griezmann.
You want to go far in Champions League? You're gonna come across tough teams at home. You have to play one home.
It's
and
not.
One away.
It's not that. It's just so, the first leg. It's the first leg.
No, you should have scored 2 goals. We know this already. But
should have, could have, must have. You know that means.
I'd rather go in 1-0 than 0-0, because that could have been.
Thanks, Captain Obvious.
Pete, we just wish you to win, as you know.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I really mean it from the bottom of my heart.
All right, guys. Thank you all for watching. We'll talk to you soon. Ciao, ragazzi.